With me in the studio this morning is Chuck Rogers from Springfield Little Theater, and they have their first show of the new year ready to open tonight. I assume it's ready to open.
It's great to be here. It's great to be out, and it's great to be opening this show. We've been in rehearsal now for about 10 weeks. So
you should know it by now.
We should know it by now. And we had a tremendous preview last night, the good audience response, and it's just great to be bringing this classic, wonderfully comfortable show back to the area in this day and time. It's a perfect type of show.
The Sound of Music, the final collaboration between Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II. I didn't realize that was the very last show that they did together.
Yeah, and they put it all together well. They learned all of their stuff.
they both put a lifetime's worth of experience and knowledge into this show.
Right. You cannot get any more classic.
People are so familiar, of course, with the film version.
Right.
And are there differences of note between what one would see in the stage version as opposed to what's in the Julie Andrews movie version?
Interestingly enough, there's a few major differences that...
Because that does happen sometimes.
Yes. The licensing companies have finally started to recognize that as well. There are two songs specific to the movie that are not in the original production, and that is I Have Confidence, that Julie Andrews sings.
Right.
And the song in the second act called Something Good that... Captain Von Trapp and Maria sing their realization of their love,
right,
song.
Are they songs that should have been in the stage version, or are they expendable, really?
It's hard to say. The characters of Max, Captain Von Trapp's best friend and the festival coordinator,
right,
and his soon-to-be fiancée, Elsa Schrader, those roles are much expanded in the Broadway show than they are in the films. There are two songs actually in the revival or in our production that are not in the film. A wonderful showcase for two very talented leading performers.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the actors in the movie don't in either role sing.
They don't sing, and their scene work is primarily there just to further the story between,
right,
Christopher Plummer and Julie Andrews.
Exactly,
they're not really equally weighted.
So let's talk about your cast for this show.
Oh, you know, you never know in this weird and strange time that we're living in. People may want to audition for the show. People may rather stick it out. So we really had no idea going into it what type of response we were going to have. Aaron Payne, who is a recent graduate from the Evangel Music Theater Department, showed up at auditions, and she is every inch Maria. There is nothing about her, and it's not that she's a recreation of Julie Andrews or a classical reinterpretation. She plays her as a strong, independent young woman that I think is so relevant to our day and age. And again, it's why Sound of Music is so relevant and is continually performed over and over and over again, because it's always relevant to the way we perceive our society, the way we perceive family, so forth and so on. But Jared Kate, who is one of our instructors over at our education facility, is Captain Von Trapp. He is very familiar to our audiences. He was in Forbidden Broadway Greatest Hits. He was in Clue the Musical, which we recently did, and is back doing Captain Von Trapp at... The chemistry between him and Aaron is, we had all of our fifth graders from our magnet school at the show last night, and they were just enamored of Maria and Captain Von Trapp, so that was a good sign.
if they can be interested in the love story, then exactly. Everybody will be. Yeah,
they were ooh and ah and all that. So it was great hearing all the fifth graders respond so positively.
And you have eight children?
Seven
children, yeah.
Seven children, ranging from the ages of 18 years old down to 8 years old. And most of them are veterans of our shows. They're all veterans in our education series shows. They have grown up in our program. Lorelei Blevins, who plays Gretel, the youngest one, is our brand newbie, and you know, we look forward to seeing, she's going to become a star in her own right as she gets older. But it's wonderful to see these seven young people create their own dynamics and create their own new sense of family and all of that, all while masked. I have to keep...
Yeah, we should actually mention how you're handling that in the production.
Yeah, well, we've been masked since auditions. And ironically, I didn't see anybody's face until last week. And still I didn't see their face. We have a terrific new type of clear mask that we are using. And it is virtually invisible to the audience.
Oh, really?
It's great. Oh, yeah.
Are they like a face shield or are they something?
Well, it covers the lower half of the face, but it's really clear, and it doesn't really reflect light very well, and it's great for microphones.
So everybody's individually mic'd then?
Yes, individually mic'd. It's been interesting.
You have to when you're wearing masks. I mean, you just can't avoid it.
Yeah, but you realize how important it is to see people's lips.
Yeah.
when you can't see a person's mouth, we have learned a lot about how to communicate with our eyes, and it's a wonderful thing I think I'm going to take away from this pandemic is how important what you say with your eyes is, because we've lost that sense of communication we have with our whole face. But, you know, I've been looking forward to coming and talking to you, Randy, because you're such a great classical aficionado. I think it's interesting with our production of Sound of Music, the fact we're doing tracks. Mm. We do not have a live orchestra.
Oh, okay. The tracks came from the production company.
Yes, yeah. And they're fully orchestrated and fully all of the transitions and all of that. And
that is different, a different way of working for you guys.
It is very different. And I'll tell you what's interesting about it is I have learned how important live music is to what we do. There is a give and take between a music director and a live trumpet player, a live drummer.
And a live singer on stage.
Yes.
There is that communication that goes on.
Yes.
I need a little more preparation time to get to that particular note or to get through this particular phrase.
Exactly.
And when you have a pre-recorded accompaniment track, you don't have that luxury.
Well, you in the rehearsal process, you almost dangerously get rote.
Yeah,
with it.
Right.
And I think the thing that we've had to learn is you still have to be spontaneous when you sing. You still have to reinterpret the music, and it's so much different, and it adds such a different flavor to the overall process of putting a show together. And the other thing that we've learned is I could not have an ensemble, and the Sound of Music is written for like a 25-person chorus. Nuns, party guests, Nazis, they're all written into the music so that it has that fully orchestrated and full choir sound.
Sure.
You know? So we've got in the show the 20 speaking roles in the show, and that's what we have. We were able to get a lot of the people who auditioned for the show that we weren't able to use. And we pulled them all back together a couple of weeks ago and started rehearsing them. And we've recorded them. And we've recorded all of the beautiful secular music that's in the show, the Gaudiamus and the Alleluia chorus and all of that. We've recorded it. And so it's presented in its entirety to our audiences, but it's all recorded. And people still get the opportunity to have been a part of the show, even though they may not actually be appearing on the stage.
And they had to sing to the pre-recorded accompaniment too, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, a lot of the
a cappella.
Acapella. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But the challenges of doing a old classical musical in this environment, I think it just goes to show what, I hate to brag, but what Springfield Little Theater has been able to accomplish in this strange and weird world that we're living in, and to do it safely.
Yeah, right.
We haven't had any outbreaks. You know, there's been some positivity before Christmas that we had to deal with, but it really didn't affect us that much. The people have figured out that it's important for them. Community theater is important in their lives, and they want to be safe. So they take the necessary precautions.
They find ways to make it work.
They find ways to do it.
Yeah.
And I was talking with someone the other day, and I think the key word here is striving for some sort of normalcy in your life. And, I mean, I'm a career community theater person. You and I go way
back.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know what my life would be if last June we had to shut the doors. I don't know what our volunteers' life would be like. I definitely know what our community's life without Springfield Little Theater. Mm-hmm. We're a cornerstone. I hate to brag, but I feel like we're embedded in this community, and I think to be able to do something to allow normalcy is super important.
Well, all right. People can either, speaking of normalcy, people can either attend live with socially distanced seating, or you can live stream. Yeah.
We are in the forefront of streaming. Let me tell you, Eli Cunningham, who has spearheaded this since last summer, has created an incredible streaming experience. If you just want to stay home and you want to get a group of friends together and have a glass of wine or make some popcorn and stuff, buy a streaming ticket and watch the show. It's just like watching Broadway HD. It really is. And you can just call the box office and they'll talk you through it. And it's so easy to do. Easy to do. So take advantage of that.
How many people can you seat in the theater?
Socially distancing right now, we are only seating 150. In a 542-seat theater, that seems like little. But everyone is distanced and everyone wears masks.
Yes.
And there's no concessions. We encourage
there's
people.
There's no gathering out in the lobby.
No. Yeah. We encourage people to go to the bathroom during the show rather than waiting for intermission.
Right, just go ahead and get up.
Yeah, go ahead and get up. We don't care.
You're not going to be stepping in front of anybody.
Right. So, you know, and at the end of the show, we dismiss by rows, kind of like school.
Sure.
but we're doing what we have to do, and I really feel thankful that we're able to do it, and I really feel like our patrons that are taking advantage of what we do are feeling good, feeling safe, feeling happy that we're able to get back out there.
To provide that sense of some sense of normalcy.
Yes,
again.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Sound of Music, Rodgers and Hammerstein's classic, opens tonight at the Landers Theater, 311 East Walnut, and continues through Valentine's Day, the 14th.
Great show for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, no kidding. Performances are Thursdays through Sundays, 7:30 p.m. Thursday through Saturday evenings, and with 2 p.m. matinees on Saturdays and Sundays during that period. Again, socially distant seating if you attend the live performances, but you can also live stream them. Each night is live streamed.
Yes,
every performance.
Yeah.
And you can call the Landers box office for information. As you said, as Chuck said, they can talk you right through it, 869-1334, or visit springfieldlittletheater.org. And again, you can select either live in-person attendance or the stream.
It's great to see you. It's
yeah,
great to be out and finally doing something human again, you know? So
maybe all continue to keep doing things like that.
Let's hope.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Chuck Rogers directing the Sound of Music at Little Theater. And again, it opens tonight, 869-1334, or visit springfieldlittletheater.org, either streaming online or They will seat as many as 150 people per night per performance in the live performances.